Violet Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Tatum, offensive end, gives it up to Tice. He'll launch a three. It is no good. Rebound belongs to Middleton. He will cross half court. The clock will roll down to triple zeros. And in a game whose intensity defied the circumstances, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics tantalize us about what could be possible 6 weeks from now in an Eastern Conference final. The final score in the first game back, Milwaukee 119, Boston 112.
We started slow. But you know, gradually got better. And guys just miss a week. I think we miss a lot of shots that we normally make. You know, right now it's about catching that rhythm. You know, we will. I think we competed really hard, you know, to the best of our ability. Yeah, we're going to get better, man. We're going to knock those shots down in the future. And just keep going from there.
All right, positive sounding Kemba Walker after the Celtics have their restart opener last night in the Orlando bubble. 118-112. They lose the Milwaukee Bucks.
It is 119?
What'd I say?
You said 118.
Oh, I'm sorry. 119. 119-112. Forgot that extra point. My bad. It's the C-word trying to work out the kinks as the Sports Hub Celtics show has returned. Jim Murray here with Chris Gasper and you at 617-779-0985. Also along with Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, producing the show. We'll be also joined by Gary Washburn, who is down in the bubble.
He's in the bubble.
He of the Boston Globe. Coming up here in just a little bit. But basketball, real meaningful basketball, back last night. It would have been better if the Celtics actually won that game. Yes, I wish that they started off a little bit better, but we're all kind of used to that collectively, right? They're down 17 too early.
Yes.
You don't want to send out that tweet saying like, oh boy, oh, it's going to be a long night. Like, how many times have we lived through this? Like, they're down 15 to 20 within, you know, the first 8 to 10 minutes of the first quarter, and you're like, oh God, I've seen this before. It'll be fine. And it was fine. But up until the end, look, there's a lot to dissect here. Some of the good. Kemba Walker, again, I had strong concerns about his knee. I know you did too, Chris. And talking yesterday on Felger and Maz with Kristen Arkan, Jimmy Stewart, like, you know, the paranoia high about Kemba's knee after the four-month layoff, still dealing with issues. He has got the minutes restriction. But I thought he looked great. I really did, and I can understand why some people today feel frustrated that he didn't play a little bit more, and maybe the Celtics come out with a win. But overall, Kemba's night, excellent.
You know what I liked? I mean, you can look at the numbers, obviously, on Kemba, and it looks good. You know, 5 of 9, 16 points in 19 minutes. But I thought he just watch him play. The bounce he had, the explosiveness, the burst, it was all there. And I was actually surprised. I was really surprised. I thought that was the most encouraging part of this game. You know, this was one of those situations where if you're the Celtics, and he's lit up Milwaukee this year, and Scal said this during the game, the way that Milwaukee plays defense and they sort of collapse back into the middle with their bigs, Kemba can get basically any shot he wants. And I thought that you may have lost the battle, but if that's the Kemba Walker you're going to get in the playoffs, you could ultimately win the war.
Absolutely. And that is the hands-down best takeaway from last night, is the Kemba Walker, if he can look like that, even if it's on a restriction, minutes-wise, he'll be in a good spot. Another positive is you get a good Marcus Smart night. You know, like, he did all those Marcus Smart things. He gave you a spark, set the tone defensively, 23 points, had the team high, Marcus Smart was excellent last night. All right, let's get to the bet. Holy crap, Jason Tatum.
Oh, my God. Where are those people who are chirping at me? Speaking of guys lacking burst, you know, what's been noticeable about him?
He can't get up.
He's not elevating. He doesn't have his legs. The finish and explosiveness at the rim isn't there. Like, how many layups did he just send, like, careening off the backboard? And his shot's kind of flat, too. I mean, technically, he was 2 of 18, but it's really 1 of 17 because when the Celtics were down 17 to 2, that basket wasn't scored by the Celtics. It was a miss by Kemba Walker that the Bucks accidentally tapped into the basket. And the rule is that the closest the closest opposing player to the basket, when it's sort of like an own goal in soccer, gets credited with the point. So they gave Tatum points that he didn't even earn.
I mean, guys, you don't even need to watch the game to see how bad he was in this.
That's the worst game I think he's ever played as a professional.
But just look at the box score. 5 points, 2 of 18. I mean, here's a guy who I, too, felt like, oh, he had become an NBA superstar. He played himself into being a top 10 player, which I thought was going to happen last year, but we know what happened with that Celtics team that basically hated each other. But it was a year off, but it started to come to fruition right before the shutdown. Jason Tatum is blossoming into an NBA superstar. And so where do we all go with this? Well, after the shutdown, when he returns, Tatum's going to be the guy. He'll be getting close to 25, 30 a night. I had even talked myself into that. Maybe a little bit too much golf, like you said just about a week ago, Chris. Maybe too much golf, not enough practice. Maybe you should have got a hoop when the shutdown first happened. That was putrid. That was inexcusable. He just doesn't look like he's in shape. And okay, maybe it's rust and some of the look. Even LeBron James in the game against the Clippers the other night looked like he was half-assed and on defense, and at times didn't even want to be there and looked a little slow. So these guys are going to work off some rust.
Yeah,
but that was
bad.
Holy crap! Like that's in the red concerning for what you saw with Jason Tatum last night. Because again, look at some of the other guys. Marcus Smart looked like he didn't miss.
I thought another guy in the positive category, Jim, sorry to cut you off, there was Jaylen Brown. Even though the numbers weren't great, I thought some of the shots he hit and the aggressiveness, I thought he played well. You know, the fouls were an issue, but just the way he looked, how aggressive he was and some of the plays that he was able to make in traffic, I thought he looked good.
I'll give you Gordon Hayward. Also, okay. I think a positive last night, who I think did, you know, a little bit of what you need out of him. Mm-hmm. Finished with, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 17 points. Yeah. Even good in the box score, I thought Hayward was pretty good last night. Great, no, but pretty good. Tatum was an abject disaster. And all right, fine, it's just one, but it didn't look like a lot of those other guys missed a step. He just looked out of shape. He can't get up, and I think it's fair to go how this 4-month shutdown and how he treated it. You look at that, and you hear that he's playing a lot of golf. He's down at Core Golf, excellent facility down over there. I've been there before, but like, dude, like. You've been practicing your craft? Have you been? Why didn't you get that hoop early? It just feels like he's got a long way to go.
I mean, in the fourth quarter, 0-5, minus 11, plus minus. And honestly, he came back in with 4:02 to go in that game. They took out Semi Ojeleye. And I think if you injected Brad Stevens with sodium pentothal, he would tell you they would have had a better chance winning that game if he'd left Semi in there. Because Semi would have given them more spacing. The other thing that was tough about Tatum's night. And look, it's a small sample size. You know, I think what's tough for Jason Tatum is that he was playing at such a high level before this that he's being held to a higher standard than other players because of that, because he was playing like one of the top five players in the league. But I don't care who you are. 2-for-18, which was really 1-for-17, is really bad. And so, you know, that's sort of the issue. But the Celtics were better off not putting him back in that game, you know, when he came back in with 4:02 to go. They were in a position where I thought they were in a better setup to win that game because Semi was doing all the little things, and he also was giving them some spacing because Tatum, whenever he got the ball, despite the fact his night was putrid, was like, okay, it's time to go 1-on-5.
All right, and then you have the NBA refs, which, look, in a way I kind of respect it in that you don't actually have to be on your real home court to get that home court cooking from the NBA refs. You know, you're all down in the bubble. You're playing in the Orlando bubble. And technically, the Bucks were the
home team.
Home team last night. But, you know, it's just all one same court there. But, boy, it did feel like they got some hometown calls, especially at the end with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and people are just screaming about that right now. It feels like the NBA's already decided which team is going to be going to the finals out of the East, and it's the Bucks with that call that got overturned against Giannis in the play against Marcus Smart. So what did you make of that, and did it bug you, and is that the reason that they lost?
It's not the reason that they lost, in my opinion. I still think it was an uphill battle all night, and they had their opportunities. I can see why people are annoyed by the call. I'll be honest. I'm being completely honest. I didn't have an issue with it because I thought that, and B-Rob's going to sort of break down the rule for us here in a second. I thought that Marcus Smart, at the last second, slid his foot out a little to the right and moved a little to the right. And I don't know exactly what the justification was. I read the pool report, and they were very vague. They just said he was late. But I thought that that last little bit of movement for him was what allowed them to change the call. If he had just sort of stayed where he was, like he slides his foot out and shifts ever so slightly to his right while Giannis is in the air. And for me, at that point, it doesn't qualify as you being set long enough, which is what I think they ended up calling.
Yeah, so what's the rationale here, B-Rob? I mean, did they get screwed? Did they actually get the call right? And this is just Celtics fan bias and whining. Explain this, and what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think they, by the letter of the law, they called this right on the review. And the exact wording is actually to be considered illegal and to draw an offensive foul, a secondary defensive player must establish legal position prior to the offensive player starting his upward motion. And since Giannis is a freak, he was probably jumping from close to the free throw line there, and Smart was clearly moving when Giannis was in the air. So on the review, it's a tough call. It's kind of a bang-bang call, but it's the right call.
And just to go a little bit more on that, Jim and B-Rob, B-Rob read that, you know, the defensive player must establish legal position prior to the offensive player starting his upward motion, and the defender must have both feet established completely outside the restricted area line. That to me did not happen. When Giannis went up, Smart was in the restricted area, and then even after he established position outside of it, as I mentioned to you guys, he still, while Giannis was in the air, was moving his feet. Remember, Scalabrine was crediting him. He's like, oh, Marcus is really smart. Watch him take this extra step out. Well, that extra step is why the call got overturned, yeah, because you weren't set. You weren't established. They got that one right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess by the letter of the law, sure. But I understand why people are hot, but that's really not why they lost the game. If Jason Tatum played a hair better, you know, that's probably a Celtics win. But I will say, just overall, like, Giannis is a freak, man. Like, that team really ain't much without him. That's a given, right? Like, he is just a freight train. They have really not many answers for him, and I almost feel like their best defensive option against him is Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Marcus Smart was really good. I thought, you know, Al Horford traditionally has been their best option. Obviously, Al's not on the team anymore, so it's a little different. You know, Giannis kind of had his way. I would disagree with what you said about Milwaukee outside of Giannis. Chris Middleton, I thought that dagger three was the biggest shot of the game, and he always makes shots like that against the Celtics.
Against the Celtics, but overall, he's hot and cold.
You think so? I think you're way underselling Middleton. Middleton's a good player, and the reality is, yeah, you can say just against the Celtics, but that matters because the Celtics have to beat them, and he always lights it up against them. Also, they didn't have Eric Bledsoe, so keep that in mind. Bledsoe's been a mixed bag against Boston, but he is their starting point guard, and it would give them more depth. I'm telling you, I don't think that team is just Giannis. He's clearly the best player, and the Celtics were able to make hay when he was out, and I like the Celtics. I think the Celtics have more sort of a quality in their core. In other words, you have guys sort of at the same level, and you can go four or five deep, whereas with the Bucks, it's Giannis, drop off to Middleton, big drop off to everybody else. But don't sell the Bucks short.
Celtics lose to the Bucks 119-112 in the NBA restart opener. We'll get more on this from someone who is actually in the bubble. Down in Orlando, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe will join us next here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, home of the Boston Celtics basketball.
Pick and rolls. They did a good job loading up to him. They did a good job with the rim on him, and, you know, he'll go back and look at it. You know, he had a couple nights like that early in the season, too, and least of our concerns is him finding the net. That's what he does, so he'll be fine.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub. That's Celtics head coach Brad Stevens on Jason Tatum's miserable night. Just 5 points in the loss to Milwaukee Bucks down in the Orlando bubble. And joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to discuss the game and that performance, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, who is in the Orlando bubble. Good afternoon, Gary. Tatum's night, not just a one-off, I feel like, because I think he's looked bad in some of those scrimmages as well. So what's your level of concern with how he's played so far?
You just have to hope that a scorer turns back into a scorer. I thought he started testing last night. I thought he was looking for some calls. That's the Tatum of a couple years ago where, you know, if he doesn't make a basket, he was fouled. He's got to stop that. So I think he was complaining a little too much, and he got into his head, and he was trying to get going because he knew how important it was. And then when he didn't, he missed a couple of layups, missed a couple of short jumpers. That really could have got the Celtics a chance to win this game. So,
this could be a dicey phone situation.
You still there?
Hello?
Yeah, we still got you, Gary.
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, good.
I'm sorry. You can look at it as Tatum struggling, and they almost beat the number one seed, or you can look at it like this is a trend and this could be a problem. I'm assuming they think he'll get on in over the next couple of games, and this won't be an issue.
Gary, just to stay on Tatum here, I know Mike Gorman mentioned in one of the preseason games that he looked different physically to Mike. And if you go back to those, you know, preseason games, he really didn't shoot well in those games either. Is there anything physically that you notice different about him? Is he not quite as built? Is it, you know, Jim and I were saying, just watching, it seems like he's having a little bit of an issue finishing around the rim, which is unusual for him.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is that he's a little bigger than he was before the pandemic. He looks like he's been hitting the weight room. Maybe he's trying to get used to having kind of a newer body. I didn't really know, but it's, you know, he did show signs of being himself in that one stretch. I want to say it was against Phoenix. Where he hit couple threes in a row, and he looked like his old self. And then obviously he didn't play in the last scrimmage. So, I mean, I want to give myself more of a testing ground for Tatum than, you know, one game and one scrimmage in 4 months. So I personally thought that he just pressed last night. I thought Jaylen got fouled. They just had a lot of things happen. And then Milwaukee exposes all of your small mistakes. I mean, the George Hill layup when they tied the game at 85, where he just got an unimpeded drive to the basket. The Robin Lopez step back three. I mean, there were some plays that the Celtics wish they could have back, and you can't miss those plays against the Bucks.
Talking to Gary Washburn, who was down in the Orlando bubble, about last night's Celtics loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Gary, is Kemba Walker's performance, because I think all collectively have concerns about his knee, how it's going to hold up, and, you know, he had the 4 month layoff and it was still bothering him, but was his performance the best takeaway from last night in the loss?
Yeah, I think so. He looked comfortable. He said he felt good. He's able to attack the basket, able to shoot a jumper. So, yeah, anything of encouragement there, I mean, I think that's the best thing to be encouraged about. I mean, they want him ready for the playoffs. And you know, the only thing the Celtics don't want to do is drop to the fourth seed. So, I mean, they got to win a couple of these games. So they can't use all the rest seven games like practice games to get Kemba right. But they're not going to push him. And so I think last night, could they have used him in the fourth quarter? Of course. They probably had a good shot at winning that game if they did. But I think they're going to stick to the minutes limit and make sure he can play 33 to 35 in the playoffs.
I want to ask you about Jaylen Brown. I thought that, you know, you can look at the box score and maybe it's not fantastic. You know, I thought it was good, 6 of 15. But to me, he just looks like he actually improved during this hiatus. He's more aggressive. He looks, you know, uber confident. What have you seen from Jaylen down there?
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's starting to really get and starting to really click in for him. I just thought the early foul trouble, that was some of his issues earlier this season and last season, was, you know, picking up ticky-tack fouls, two or three fouls in the first 8 minutes, and that just affected his whole game. And then I believe he had kind of a back issue. He was kind of nursing his back on the sideline, kind of getting it worked on. So we'll see more about that today. But, yeah, it was a solid showing for Jaylen. I'm not going to say great or impressive, 6 for 15. He could have hit a couple of those threes he shot, but I thought you're right, Chris. He was aggressive. He was assertive. He was solid on defense. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was an encouraging game for him.
And who else stood out to you? I thought Smart really had a good game.
Yes.
And he's doing all the Marcus Smart things. Feels like he hasn't missed a step. Who else stood out to you as a positive in this?
Smart, obviously. I mean, I thought Brad Wanamaker was solid. Daniel Tice played some decent defense. I mean, you know, Gordon was a guy that I – still kind of, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out. Like, you know, he had an array of just short jumpers in early the first three quarters that he just missed, flat missed that were open. And he's shots. I mean, open jumpers. And Brown, and then Kemba presents a problem. I mean, you know, feast on that. And then last night he did. And he missed that game. They could have, but they didn't. You know, he honestly missed the layup. You know, he's got to make plays, and so I thought Wanamaker was solid. I thought sometimes he forced the issue a little too much, but I thought he also made some plays.
Gary, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. I mean, what is it like down there? What is life like in the NBA bubble? What is it like for the players? What is it like for you? And do you feel like the success the league has had in terms of tamping down COVID is sustainable, or are guys going to go sort of have cabin fever here and you know, even just whoever's in the bubble, the Disney employees, you just find who you can find and have some fun?
Wow, Chris, I wouldn't have said it that way.
I'm just being a realist, Gary. It's a long time for these guys.
life down here is manageable. It's just all about a routine. And I think that that's what has the players sometimes on edge is you get up every morning and you have to take your own temperature and your oxygen saturation level. And if you don't, because they give you an app to download and you download your Bluetooth two devices to your phone. So the minute you take your temperature, it goes into your phone. If you don't do that, you can't get into any facility.
Okay.
So, and that includes the players, right? So the players have to do that every morning. I think some of them have been having issues with that, like, oh, man, I got to do this again. You know, you got to treat it like having a morning cup of coffee or something you do. Life for the players, I think, is they're getting accustomed to it. I think it's kind of a fraternity kind of thing where you get to see a bunch of guys that you used to play with in college or against or AAU. Some people have called it a huge AAU tournament kind of thing because this is what they're used to, a Nike camp or something like that, 3 months. So I think the players were not happy about it at first, but now that they're getting used to it, they're able to see some of their friends, hang out a little bit, go to dinner, go to other NBA games, let's be honest, Chris, I mean, and Jim, they can get manicure and pedicures. They can get video games shipped to their room. They can get massages. The Bucks Lounge has a pinball machine and a video game system. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking about like an arcade system like the old days. So, mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are suffering. And they have catered food in after practice. So let's not feel too bad for the players.
What about you, though, yeah. Gary? What's it like? I mean, what's it like for you as a media member? Like from what I've read and what you've posted, you guys are a lot more restricted than they are in terms of where you can go and how do you fill the downtime?
Yeah, we can't go over to where they're staying. They can come anywhere near us. Like they can come to our. We have a pool that's kind of for the NBA employees, the referees, and the reporters. We've seen a couple of players come over here because they said their pool is too crowded. In a cancer case, this is chill. This is because there's not a lot of people around. They give us food 3 times a day, packaged food. It's like high school sometimes. You take a chance. Other times, you munch on chips because they have like snacks. If you're literally in a restrictive diet, you're not going to survive.
Okay.
Like, literally, like, they've got this Rice Krispie treat thing on a bar with chocolate shaped like a Mickey Mouse head. Like, that's some of the snacks. Like,
oh, God, you know, wow.
I mean, if you get hungry, man, sometimes between games, they do not have a great cuisine. We can order from restaurants, but they're not included in our free meal package that a lot of our companies paid.
Okay.
So you've got to okay with your company to say, hey, can I go to Del Frisco's and charge $60? Because you know how that is.
Yes, I do.
The food and then the delivery fee. So, yeah, like you just have – everybody's just kind of dealing, man.
Yeah.
I mean – We can't go. There's a gift shop that has toiletries. We have to get an escort to go there. They're literally trying to keep us away from the players, except at the arena.
So I'm not going to lie, Gary. It sounds like you're locked up, man. This kind of sounds like prison.
All right, that sounds like hell.
It sounds like prison with NBA basketball.
I don't want to say prison. I mean, we have a pool. It's not like we're playing checkers and, there's lockdown every night. It is restrictive, and you kind of have to just get used to it. I mean, there's a bunch of us here for the media, so you can kind of get to know people you didn't know before. And then it's NBA smorgasbord. There's 6 games almost every day, so you can go to different games. You can just watch. They give us the seats that we used to have in the old days at the court side before teams decided to sell those seats to season ticket holders and put us up in the load section. It's kind of a throwback, but, yeah, like, is it limiting? Yeah. Do I wish I could have guests? Of course. Is it something I would do for a long time? No. But I think everybody kind of feels like this is history, and this is the only way, as you guys can see in baseball, that they were going to be able to pull this off.
Can I ask you – sorry, Jim.
Yeah,
can I ask you just real quick? Gary, you and I covered the 2016 Summer Olympics together in Rio. Is it anything like that, or is it more – because that was very fun, but it's kind of like monotonous. Like you get up, it's the same breakfast every day. Those rooms were nice, but they were small. Is it anything like that, or is it just even completely different from that?
No, reminiscent to the Olympics, yeah.
Okay.
You're on a lot of buses because they take every practice facility and court is a bus. You have to take a bus, so they have certain time buses, so you have to jump on a bus. know, they have really turned this place. I mean, they literally went to the convention center, took three ballrooms, and turned them into practice facilities with, like, weight rooms and all that. The NBA did a really great job to make this, you know, as NBA-like as possible. But, yeah, Chris, it's definitely like every day there's games from now on, right? There's not going to be a day without a game until the end of the final. So if you want to go to games every day, which is awesome, in practices, every team has a practice. 22 teams have availability at practice. So you can go to three practices and two games a day if you really want to. So, you know, it's kind of a smorgasbord here, but it can get tiring. And also, it's very restrictive. We have to make appointments to get haircuts. You know, we can't. So we have to get an escort to get to the gift shop because that's where players go. So yeah, it's a lot going on here.
All right. Well, try to stay sane, Gary, and safe as well. Appreciate you checking in and giving us coverage from the Orlando bubble. Don't sound great, but you know, try to stay sane and appreciate the coverage in the Boston Globe as well.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary
great
Washburn
stuff.
Of the Boston Globe. Oh, man. that just gave me anxiety.
Yeah, me too. I was just going to say, I know you. You know me. And as he's explaining it, my first thought was no.
Yeah, Chris. And like the last 5 minutes of that, all that kept saying in my head is nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope. I'm not doing that.
No shot.
No. Are you kidding me? First of all, I mean, the food thing.
Oh.
I mean, no way. No way. Because there are certain things I just can't eat.
That Z-grade Disney crap. That's what you're going to make me have to pay. The company's not going to pay if I want to go to steak from Del Frisco's. Oh, that poor bastard.
An escort to get, like, toiletries, too? Oh, no. Well, I mean, Gary was nice about it. And, you know, I almost felt bad because he was like, damn, Chris. You know, like, he's going to be there for a while, so I shouldn't have, like, you know, said what I said in terms of the, you know, mentally. But, it sounds like prison.
Whew.
It sounds like serving a prison sentence.
Well, we appreciate the coverage as well as the Celtics lose 119-112 to the Milwaukee Bucks down in that hellish Orlando bubble. We'll get your thoughts on the loss last night next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Giannis, who did not foul out of the game, has it here against Tatum. Tatum went for the steal. Giannis dribbles around him, goes past Tice, scoops it up and in.
Nope, that's a foul. He just fouled out of the game with a charge. Take the basket away. Marcus Smart just took the charge, and now he's out the game.
They have not made the announcement yet. Marcus Smart just got outside the circle. So it is an offensive foul on Giannis. Giannis got a second chance to survive here, but this one may foul him out.
What is it about a cat? How many lives can you have? I'm not sure if you're going to get 9 this time.
A monster review going on right now.
This is the call of the game without Middleton in there.
James Capers.
Overturn. It is a successful field goal because it is a block on Marcus Smart.
They're calling a block on Marcus Smart. It will not be a charge on Giannis. He does not foul out, and it will be a chance for a three-point play.
Wow.
For Giannis.
Wow.
The excuse was I was late on the charge. They said the replay center said I was late and it was a block. Quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Giannis is 6'5", didn't want to get him out. Just we'll call that spade a spade, and that's just what it is.
Marcus Smart going to get fined for that? That was smart after the game. Celtics lose 119-112 to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. Yeah, I know a lot of people upset about this. Should have been a 6 foul on Giannis. Get him out. You know, people look at a couple, really, some people took as a groin shot to Daniel Tice. And then what happened with Marcus Smart there, and Smart, for what he said after the game, will he get fined, B-Rub?
Yes.
Yeah.
B-Rub's like, yeah. He's going to get fined. Does he get fined in, like, real money, or do they fine him in, like, Disney bucks?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
No pool privileges for, like, a week or something?
Yeah, that little thing he has, that little wristband they all have down there, like, it won't allow him into, you know, certain places down there, right?
Yeah, but, look, I mean, you read the letter of the law earlier, like, I know it sucks. You feel like you got jobbed. They were the Bucks technically the home team last night, but you're supposed to be in Orlando. You didn't think you were going to see this kind of activity from the refs. I mean, superstars get superstar calls. And by the letter of the law, they got it right. Sorry, guys. It's not the reason that they lost the game.
I would say, you know, as Tom Brady once said to the Baltimore Ravens, I think Marcus Smart needs to read the rule book.
But if you're angry about it, I get it. Here's the place to vent, 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Giannis not fouling out, the product overall, and Jason Tatum's miserable night. Christian in Whitman, you're first up here on the Sports Up Celtics show. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going? So
good game
last night. My one problem with Tatum, you know, you guys say he's striving to be a superstar, but you know, on nights like that when you don't have it, I don't think he made a good enough effort to just go at the rim, get a couple fouls, maybe get to the free throw line and see that ball go in the rim. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I just think he had terrible shot selection last night. A lot of shots in the paint, fading away on one foot, you know, those tough pull-up threes. What do you guys think?
I thought he took it. Jim, I don't know how you feel. I thought he took it to the basket. I just thought he wasn't successful in doing that. He didn't get a lot of calls. He was definitely frustrated by that. I thought he did go to the rim. He only shot two free throws. I thought he should have shot more than that. Again, didn't get the calls. He just couldn't finish. I mean, he just could not finish around the rim for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if that's a lack of aggression or maybe he's trying to force the refs to give him calls. Like, that's the one thing that's bugged me about his game since he's come into the league. Like, dude, you're not a superstar yet. Don't act like you should be getting these calls and turning to them and being like, come on. I don't know if it's rust or if he's buying into his own hype a little bit much. Maybe it's a combination of both. But overall, that was just hideous last night, and he's got to be better than that, especially when people have these expectations, and maybe it's unfair. Is that really what it is, Chris? Like, we've set these unfair expectations on Jason Tatum now because of how well he was playing in February?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. You know, everybody expected him to pick up where he left off. I think there was a graphic on the broadcast last night that from, like, February 1st on or something, he, like, led the NBA in scoring or was, like, second. I mean, think about that, and think about the guys who were in the league. So there's a lot of pressure on him, and I think there's pressure on him also because we're uncertain about Kemba and how healthy he'll be. Kemba looked fantastic last night. I thought that was the big takeaway. I thought that that was the most encouraging thing about it. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Tatum, and maybe he's feeling some of that pressure. And then, again, we don't know how much he did during the hiatus. Now, look, you know, starting in early June, early to mid-June, these guys were available for individual workouts. And so it's not like he never picked up a basketball. But to me, it looks like there's a little bit of rust there for him.
Zach in Milford on last night's game. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Zach.
Hey, so yeah, obviously the Celtics didn't lose because of the refs. Don't make excuses, make improvements. They lost because they started 17-2. They were down 15 early. And Tatum couldn't hit the broadside of an effing barn. Good takeaways. We just said Walker. He played well in limited minutes. Daniel Tice got porked by the refs. He had a decent game.
He was good.
Obviously, Hayward. I think he looked good. You saw some elevation. You saw some aggressiveness that may have been lacking previously. And Smart played really well. So if Tatum doesn't play worse than Helen Keller out there, I think you're with them. And I think both you guys, I'd like to ask your opinion. In a seven-game series, I think you may not win the seven-game series, but I think it's going to go six or seven maybe.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I would agree. No,
yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And I think we've now seen, look, there's going to be some hometown cooking calls. So I would ultimately give it to the Bucks and Giannis. Does the NBA want him and one of their marquee stars to be in the finals? Absolutely. Like, let's not fool ourselves. But I do think the Celtics would go six or seven with them because I'm not that impressed with those guys. I think there are a lot of hacks, Chris. I think it's Giannis. Like, Giannis is the hot girl, and the rest of her is doughy friends. Like,
yeah, you think it's Giannis and his fugly friends, and you think that the Bucks outside of Giannis are a doughy six?
Very much so. I don't want you talking to Giannis. You're not good enough for her. Like, it's a lot of that. I don't know. Chris Middleton, hot and cold. He's good against the Celtics. I think he's mostly a hack. Lopez, the Lopez brother, like, yuck. Like, I don't know.
I think Brooke Lopez would be the one that'd be like, you can't talk to Giannis.
Yeah. She's such a higher level than you. You're not on her level. Like, fine. But still, I don't know. They are a bunch of collective doughy sixes that Giannis is surrounded by. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. David in Rhode Island, excuse me, on last night's Celtics loss to the Bucks. Go ahead.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, I agree with a lot of people's assessment of, you know, last night's game. I just thought that, you know, when they overturned the call, and, you know, like we were already talking about, is Giannis getting the superstar treatment, you know, he should have been fouled out like a long time ago. He you know, with his leg kick out, you know, that was like a no call. He punched, he gave Tice a kidney punch. You know what I mean? Nothing. And, you know, the charge, which was blatantly a charge.
No, the charge. They got the charge right, man. I'm sorry. You got to read the rule on that. I know it's tough because they overturned it, but you got to read the rule on that one. But he was right. You know, I think if you're a Celtics fan and you're mad about the referees today, and I know it stinks when a call's overturned, and I know how that looked, but B-Rob just read the rule. By the letter of the law, you know, that they got that one right. And Smart should have stopped moving at the end there. But I think your real complaint is even though I think Tice embellished it a little bit, like that non, okay, so it's not a hostile act, but it's something. Like, that was a foul.
Yeah.
It had to be, okay, I get it. It's not a hostile act. Okay, can you call the foul? So that last caller, I agree with that point with you, man. You're right about the kidney punch thing. I do think Tice embellished it, but that doesn't matter. You can't do that. Giannis should have been fouled out right there. To me, that's the superstar treatment. I think a lot of Celtics fans, you're directing your ire at the wrong call. The charge thing, I know it's your boy, it's Marcus Smart, so you feel like he should get the call. But by letter of the law, the NBA got that one right. The thing with Tice on the screen, that's where it was the superstar treatment. It was like, not a hostile act and nothing to see here. All right, Giannis, just stay in the game.
Yeah, that one was shady. But don't twist it either. Like, the real reason the Celtics lost that last night is because Jason Tatum was terrible. Everything about his game was off. If you even got a quarter better out of Jason Tatum, they probably win that game last
even
night.
If, you know, I think, honestly, I know this is weird to say, and I'm not knocking Tatum. It's a small sample size. I think he'll be better. Tough night for him. But just given on a one-off of that evening, that game, I think they would have had a better chance to win if they left Shemmy in.
Yeah. Yeah, with the way that he was playing.
Yeah,
I mean, his outside shots looked like he was chucking up bricks. He shoots it, what, 16 times? One goes in?
Because Shemmy would have just, like, stayed out of the way.
Yeah.
Whereas Tatum was, like, ball dominant, taking shots. The ball kind of stopped moving. Shemmy would just sort of stay out of the way and space the floor. Whereas Tatum came back in and was like, okay,
I'm going to do me.
Yeah, I'm gonna salvage this horrible evening. I mean, I'll tell you this, you know, shooter's got to shoot. You got to take your shot. Shooter's conscience. I love all that. If you're looking for a Jason Tatum positive, he didn't stop shooting, man. He kept, you know.
He still had that Marcus Smart confidence.
Yeah, he was like, all right, I'm just jacking these up. He took 18. He took the most. Here's how I can boil it down for you, Jim. Nobody on the Celtics took more shots than Tatum last night.
Yeah, that's still not good, the way his night was going. All right, we have one open line you want to join us. There's a lot to unpack from last night's game. The Celtics lose to the Milwaukee Bucks. 617-779-0985. 119-112 was the final. I know you still want to yell about the refs. You can do that here. 617-779-0985. More of your calls next on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was there any discussion at all about sending you back in late, or was that a foregone conclusion that you weren't going to?
For me, yeah, but nobody listened to me, so it didn't really matter.
So you talked to them then?
Nah. I knew I wasn't expecting.
Kimba's knee is the most important thing. We're trying to strengthen it. This is his 18 to 20 minutes, whatever he ended up with. That was part of the plan. We weren't going to stretch that.
And they should stick with the plan. I get that. Like, no, if Kimba was in there, they would have been able to beat the Bucks last night. Instead, they lose. Meh. But I don't know. I just, like, I'm not mad about anything Kemba Walker related last night at all. I think that's the greatest takeaway, even in the loss, Chris. It's Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. I wasn't, you know, lamenting the fact that he wasn't in there late. There's a minutes management thing that's going to be going on with Kemba Walker here, as it should. I'm just glad that he looked like, you know, healthy Kemba Walker. You know, still manage those minutes, make sure that he's right. But the way that we've been talking about him here after the four-month layoff and he's still dealing with issues in that knee, I wasn't expecting much out of him at all. He looked really good last night.
He looked good. And even just beyond the numbers, just again, the burst, the bounce he had, his ability to pull up, and knock down shots, get to spots. He looked like Kemba Walker, and it looked like for once the Celtics were telling the truth on an injury when you had Brad Stevens come on this station and say, you know, that he looks as good as he's been since, you know, September, and his knee's in the best shape it's been since September when they started training camp and started, you know, the season in October. I was kind of like, oh, that's bunk. That's hyperbole. But no, he looked really good. You know, the question, though, is can he keep it up? You know, he was able to do it in 20 minutes. And what happens when you get to the playoffs? How does it play at that point? Because this schedule will be more condensed Now, there's not travel, but it will be more condensed here for the NBA to squeeze it in. I want to ask you this question, Jim. After this loss last night, they have seven more seeding games. Do you just wave the white flag on the number two seed? Like, do you just concede that to Toronto, or do you still feel like they should go after that? And I bring this up because the 76ers and the Pacers are playing tonight in Florida, and those are the two teams you would be set up to potentially face right now. And it seems like Oladipo is going to opt back in, and we all know what's up with Philadelphia. So should the Celtics go balls to the wall to try and avoid those two teams and get up to the two seed and end up playing in Orlando or Brooklyn, or does it not matter?
I think you do your best to try to avoid Philadelphia as much as we possibly can in that first round. I know that they have chemistry issues. They mirror last year's Celtics in a lot of ways. But despite all that, and I think Brett Brown's a moron, their head coach.
Local guy.
Size is too much of an issue. You know, Embiid, if he's trying, and I think he will, and he has at least this season, they have the 3-1 advantage against you. I want to avoid Philadelphia at all costs. I'm not so much scared of Indiana, but if you can try to do that, yeah, they should still be trying to do that.
Yeah, I think it's a tough balancing act. I think in an ideal world, the Celtics would try to do that, but I think given where Kemba's at,
might be too late.
Yeah, and I feel like they're going to sort of prioritize. And now you're 3.5 games behind them. You have seven games left to play, seven seeding games left to play. They haven't played yet. Can you catch them? So, you know, even if you do go all out to catch them, is it possible? Good news today, they play the Lakers, so maybe the Lakers could hook you up and help you out. But at this point, I'm sort of leaning towards the idea that they might just have to wave the white flag for this number two seed.
All right, we're going to do the Sports Hub headlines here, get you updated on the latest, what's going on with Major League Baseball, which feels like it's teetering and could be just wrapped up by the end of the weekend because of a further COVID outbreak with another team. We'll get you updated there. Then I promise, right to your Celtics calls here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.